And the premise that we're using, and he showed it up here a while ago, everything begins with thoughts. And we're going to talk about thoughts today. We're going to look at some Scripture. Today is going to be looking at Scripture Day. So I hope you brought your Bibles. And if you did, go to the book of Genesis chapter 6, because that's where we're going to start. But I want to give you the progression of what we're talking about that was on the overhead. Thoughts become words. Words become actions. Actions become habits. Habits become character. And character becomes your destiny. Everything is driven out of your heart. We spent 9 weeks on a series that we call Circles. That's all about building your relationship with God. Learning to live from the inside to the outside. Too many times we have lived from the outside to the inside. We need to learn how to live from the inside out. We need to establish that relationship with God. Without a relationship with God, you will never be successful in life. Anything that will produce anything beyond the natural realm. To have eternal consequences, it begins with your relationship with God. Not only your relationship with God, but your fellowship with God. Everything comes out of that. Proverbs says, above all that you guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. And that word literally means boundaries. Out of your heart flows the boundaries of your life. And that's what needs to happen. We need boundaries in our lives. We don't need to live reactive lives. We need to live proactive lives. And the only way that you can do that is out of your relationship with God, allow Him to direct your steps, and it will set the boundaries of your life. It will determine what becomes important to you. And it will determine how and what order things are important to you. And when something invades that space, guess what? There's a boundary that comes up. And you don't let that go beyond that boundary. Whether it be friendship, whether it be relationships, whether it be things that try to interfere with your priorities. And what we're talking about is your faith life. Your faith life. I have been around faith teaching for a long, long time now. I went to a faith Bible school. That's what the whole emphasis of that Bible school was about, learning to live by faith. But I've come to realize that your faith is more than just one area of your life. It is the entirety of your life. It's how you view life. And one word is philosophy. What is your philosophy of life? Because your philosophy is your faith. Your worldview, how do you view the world that you live in? See, we don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. Let that soak in just a second. You don't see the world as it is. You see it as you are. So if you don't like what you're seeing, guess where the change needs to begin? It doesn't need to begin out here. You can't legislate it. It needs to begin in here. When I change the way that I see myself, it changes the way that I see the world that I live in. And it begins with the way that you think. Now I know this sounds like mind science or something like that. And that's why I wanted to deal with thoughts today. This is why I wanted to go into this and look at thoughts. You have something on the inside of you. It's called subconscious. And you live a whole lot of your life out of your subconscious. Do you remember when you began to drive? Do you remember when you were learning to drive? Some of you, that was not long ago. Some of you are still learning to drive. But remember how difficult it was? You got in there and you had to coordinate the gas and the brake and if it was a clutch and the steering and navigating curves and all of that, and you were all stiff and you were all doing that. And I mean, it was... If they had a video camera, you could probably send it to AFV because it was hilarious. But do you know now that you've been driving, when you get in the car, you don't think about it? You don't even think about it. You just automatically do the things that used to you struggle with. That is called your subconscious. We have the conscious and we have the subconscious. And a lot of our lives are driven out of our subconscious. That is good and that is bad. You know, I don't have to tell my heart to beat. I don't have to tell myself to breathe. There are things in my life that has to do with my brain, my inward man that takes care of all of that. The study of the brain is a wonderful thing. And it's out of your brain that comes your thoughts. It's out of your spirit and soul come your thoughts. And your thoughts get into your subconscious. Not only with just how to drive, how to do certain things with your body, it also, you have a system in you. Some people call it your automatic success system. Your automatic success system. That your view of life comes out of your subconscious mind. And it has to do with the thoughts that you allow into your mind and what you have thought about, what you have said, because what you think about is what you talk about. What you talk about is what you do. What you do becomes a habit. Your habit becomes your character and your character becomes your destiny. So if you don't like your output, you got to do what? You have to change your input. And you say, that sounds like science. Well, you know, science is discovering what God has made. The greatest frontier is not space. One of the most complicated things that's ever been created is you. Look at your neighbor and say, you're complicated. Uh-oh. You're complicated. And one of the most complicated parts of you is your brain, your mind. We are yet discovering how the mind and the brain works. And we have learned that you have enough brain power to last you several million years. There is no excuse for you losing your mind. There's no excuse. Everything that you've ever heard is stored in your mind. Did you know that? Every experience that you've ever had is stored in your mind. Did you know that even fragrances that you smell before that were associated with an event or a time in your life, you can smell that fragrance and your mind will bring you back to that event and remind you of that event? The mind is a wonderful thing. But guess what? It needs to be controlled. It needs to be controlled. It needs to be fed properly. And that's what we're going to talk about. Because above all that you guard your what? Your heart, your inward man, your mind, your will, your emotions, your spiritual man. For out of it, out of that subconscious man, flow the issues of life. If you don't like who you are, if you don't like where you're at, guess what you got to do? You got to change some thoughts. It starts there. It doesn't end there, but it always starts there. Most everything that we do begins with a thought. It begins with a thought. That's just the setup. Okay, go with me to Genesis chapter 6 and we're going to look at verse 5. This was after the fall of man. God did not create man sinful. Man became sinful because of Adam's treason. He took on a place where he was separated from God. When we are separated from God, guess what we do? We do bad stuff, don't we? We have bad attitudes. We depend on God for our life. We depend on God for the proper way to think and the proper way to function. And when we get away from that, something else fills the void. And in the case of man, he told him, he says, you can eat of all of the trees of the garden, but of this one tree you don't eat, for in the day that you eat and die, and you shall die. He ate and he died. He didn't die physically. He was separated from God and he died spiritually and he began to die physically. Now that's a whole study in that. But it absolutely devastated his heart. It thrusted his spirit into darkness. And we see that the second generation of man, Cain and Abel, Cain killed Abel. He was a murderer. He was not made to be a murderer, but because of Adam's transgression, guess what? He murdered his brother. Sin had taken over his heart. Our natural inclination is towards sin. We have a default system. And unless you change that default system. There's two ways to change it. Number one is to become born again, to be redeemed. You have to be redeemed. Natural man can never overcome sinfulness by himself. That's why Jesus had to come to redeem us from the power of sin. He came and He broke the power of sin, but guess what? We still had a mind full of sinful thinking. Our default system goes right back to sinful behavior. It goes right back to selfishness. It goes back to self-servingness. And it goes right back to that. And if we're going to change that, guess what? We've got to change the program that's on the inside of us. So if we were thinking wrong thoughts, guess what we got to learn how to do? We got to learn how to think right thoughts. Now, people who are not born again, they can change some things in their lives by thinking right thoughts, but it will not lead them to heaven, because there's only one way to heaven, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can I get a big amen on this side?
Amen.
Okay. That's the only way that can happen. So I'm addressing believers when I'm addressing this. And if you're not a believer, you can become a believer today, and you can become successful, spirit, soul, and body. I know people who do not know Christ who practice some of these principles, and they change their finances, they change certain things in the natural, but it does not affect eternity. You cannot do enough good things to get to go to heaven. If you think that you can live a good life and go to heaven, you are mistaken, because you cannot live a good enough life to be saved. You have to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. That is the only way. But after that, that doesn't make you perfect. That makes your spirit man a new creature. You become the righteousness of God in Christ. But guess what? We still have a whole mindset that's goofed up. I like that word, goofed up. We're all goofed up in the head. And we think wrong thoughts that lead us back towards our natural default system, which is the flesh. Living after the flesh. If it feels good, do it. That's kind of the philosophy. So if we're going to change that, the beginning of that change has to do with changing the way that we think. And this is why God gave us this book right here, because this is full of His thoughts. He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. For as high as the heaven are above the earth, so are my thoughts and my ways above your ways." But guess what? God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. It's written down in this book, and Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life." So if you want to learn to think how God thinks, you got to get in the book. You got to adopt the book to think like God thinks. Guess what? You don't get to make the rules. You can make the rules if you want to. You can live any way that you choose to live. Nobody can make you live like you ought to live. You can choose to live any way that you want to. You have the ability to choose the way that you live, but you do not get to choose your consequences. If you want to change your consequences, guess what? You're going to have to adopt God's ways and God's thoughts. When you adapt God's ways and God's thoughts, guess what you can do? You can change your destiny. Because your thoughts leads to what? Speech. Speech leads to action. Action leads to habits. Habits leads to character. Character leads to destiny. So you can control your destiny, but it begins with learning to think like God thinks. So we see a thing in the book of Genesis, and this has to do with Noah. Noah, remember Noah in the ark? And what happened? Man had become sinful. He became more and more sinful. And there is a verse in chapter 6, verse 5 that says this, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." So if his imaginations and his thoughts are evil continually, Guess what his destiny is going to be? Guess what his actions are going to be? Guess what his speech, actions, habits, character is going to be? Is it going to be good or bad? It's going to be bad, isn't it? Why? Because his thought was on sinful stuff all the time. So God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to destroy man and I'm going to start all over. Now, did that solve the problem? No. No, something else is going to have to happen to solve that problem. But it's kind of interesting that that word imagination there has to do with purpose. Purpose. That every purpose of his thoughts, of his intentions, of his plans was on evil continually. See, your heart is what controls you. It's not your body that controls you. You might think that you're controlled by your body, but your body has no nature of its own. It's on the inside of you. You have a mind and a spirit. And you are propelled by that. So their imagination was always evil. Now, and go to Genesis chapter 11. We've got to move quickly through some of this because I want to get to something positive. There came another time in Genesis chapter 11. This is called Babel. Babel. Can you say Babel? Babel. Babel, Babel, Babel. This is the Tower of Babel. And what had happened is that they became afraid that they were going to be scattered throughout the earth. Okay? They were in one mind and they were of one speech and it was all good or bad. It was bad. It was fear-driven. It was sin-driven. And so they decided that they were going to build this tower that reached into the heavens. Okay? And God comes down and He says this in Genesis chapter 11 verse 6. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one and they all have one language and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them which they imagine to do. You know what God said? If they can conceive in their hearts something to do, they will get it done. God, you know God understands how the mind works. You know why He understands why the mind works? Because He created the mind. And He created it to work a certain way. And He understood that. And He says, you know what? They're imagining all of this stuff. And unless I intervene, they're going to accomplish what they have imagined to do. It didn't have to do with His plan. It didn't have to do with His purpose. So what did He do? He comes down and He confuses their language. Now, can you imagine? All of a sudden, you're all speaking the same language. And, you know, and you walk up to your neighbor and you say something that he don't understand and he responds back to you with something that you don't understand. I mean, he's speaking Spanish and you're speaking French. And he's speaking English and you're not understanding. It's called the confusion of tongues. That's what it's called. The Tower of Babel. They became babblers. And guess what? They were dispersed throughout the earth. Okay? And God said, unless I do something, they're going to be able to do whatever they imagine to do. Now, there's some scripture I want us to look at real quick before we get to the New Testament. Psalms 94:11. I want you to understand the importance of thoughts, of thinking, because thinking is where it all begins. You say, I thought it began with believing. You know what? Before you believe something, you have to think about it. God did not surpass your intellect to get you saved. In fact, God had to reveal Himself to your intellect for you to be able to choose Him. Because we make choices based on reasoning. Not always good reasoning, but we make choices based on reasoning. And if our reasoning is sound, that's good, but what if it's unsound? It's not good. Who determines your destiny? You determine your destiny. Nobody can, listen to this. If you don't hear anything else I say today, hear this. You are the one who determines your destiny. Not your mama, not your daddy, not your church, not anyone else. We influence, but you have to choose your destiny. And if you do that with faulty reasoning, guess what it's going to produce? Destruction. It's up to you. You choose. Nobody can choose for you. When you're little, we paddle your hiney. Get over there and pick up your toys. Paddle, 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 paddle. You get to a certain age, you start making choices. And it's up to you to choose the right thing. We got lots of teenagers in here today and lots of kids. I said that for their benefit. But here's what Psalms 94:11 says. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are vanity. Man left to himself, his thoughts are vanity. You know what vanity means? It means empty. It produces empty stuff. Have you ever noticed how a lot of people's lives revolve around stuff that doesn't produce anything? It's just empty. It has no meaning. It's frivolous. It produces nothing. Oh, they're busy. They're chasing this and chasing that, and they love this and they love that, and they're putting great importance on this over here, but in the long run, it produces nothing in their life, and it begins with their thoughts. God says their thoughts are vain. If your thoughts are vain, your words are going to be vain. Your actions are going to be vain. Your habits are going to be vain. Your character is going to be vain, and your destiny is going to be vain. We have to change some stuff. We have to be willing all of our lives. You never get too old. I have people say to me, say, don't you think I'm just too old to change? Or we've heard the old saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Then we need to shoot the dog. You're never too old to learn. When you quit learning, you quit living. Well, I just don't have the mind I used to. Then do something about it. Start exercising your mind. We atrophy for a reason. And it's not all to do with age. Okay. Psalms 119:113. God says, I hate vain thoughts. Or this is David. He says, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. There's a principle here. There's a principle here, and let me tell you what it is. The precepts of the Lord are not vain. Man's natural thoughts leads towards vanity or emptiness. Thinking God's precepts will lead you towards your purpose. It will lead you towards your success. You know what success is? Success is not measured in your bank account. It's not measured by what you have. It's measured by you becoming what you were designed by your Creator to become. And that is as unique as every person in this room. No two of us are designed to be alike. There is none like me. There's not another human being in this world like me. There's not but one Doreen. Thank you, Jesus. I know. There's not but one Angie. There's not but one Tammy and Tanya and Jim and Lawayne. Only one. You're unique. You're designed by God. And your success is based on you becoming what your designer designs you to be. And the only way that that can ever happen is you meditate on the laws of the Lord. See, the law of the Lord is limitless. God's Word can speak to every person that God designed. Everything that God needs to get His message to you uniquely is found in His Word. You just got to spend some time in it doing some thinking, meditating. We're going to get into this in the weeks to come. How do we change the way that we think? I just need to convince you right now you need to change the way that you think. You know, insanity is doing the same thing expecting a different result. And there's a lot of people thinking, well, I'm just waiting for things to change. Well, what are you doing to implement that change? Well, I'm praying about it. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. It's like praying over a crop where you never plant a seed. That's wasted prayer. You need to pray, but you need to plant seed too. You got to give God something to work with. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. The word vain thoughts in that scripture means double in mind. Double in mind. And the picture there is a tree that branches off. The branch of a tree. What happens when we start getting double-minded? There's an old saying that says, a man who chases two rabbits catches neither. If two birds light here and I try to catch both of them, I'll catch neither. You got to concentrate on one thing. You got to be single-minded about some things. You have to set some boundaries and priorities and circles in your life if you're going. You see, the Christian life has to be a disciplined life. It cannot be a sloppy life. If you're going to live it like it's designed to live, you just cannot live a sloppy life. Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And let me read it to you another way. Commit thy action unto the Lord, and thy plans shall prosper. That's what those words mean. So when we commit our what? Our actions and our plans to the Lord, then they shall what? Prosper. God wants you to prosper in the thing that He's designed for you. Okay, Proverbs 21:5, it says, the thoughts of the diligent, everybody say diligent. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness, but of everyone that is hasty, only to want. If you're going to be diligent, your thoughts are going to be about plenteousness. If you're hasty, if you're impulsive, to lack and want. Okay, go with me to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to end with this and we're going to have some prayer time. Joe posted this on his Facebook and I used it Wednesday night and I want to use it again. Because I think one of the cruxes of the matter is that we have viewed our Christian life as trying to avoid sin. That the way that I live a Christian life is try to avoid doing wrong. And I think the perspective has been wrong. Because this quote says, are you pursuing God or merely trying to avoid sin? I think that when you truly pursue God, you will avoid sin. But a lot of times we forget about the pursuing God and we're merely just trying to live good lives. We're trying to avoid sin. I don't smoke, I don't drink, I don't hang around with those who do. I live a good life. And we think that we're honoring God by just living good lives when God is, that's not it. God wants you. He wants your heart. He wants your life. He wants to be in a relationship with you. He wants to be in a growing, living relationship with you. And the fruit of that is that the sinful stuff in the flesh just begins to fall off. But sometimes we think that the way that I'm a good Christian is by avoiding to just do evil things. No. The way to be a good Christian is to live in a faith relationship with God. It has to do with perspective. It has to do. You need to change your thinking about that. I've thought about that a whole lot. That God loves me unconditionally. And if I will choose to love Him and I'll choose to live in a growing relationship with Him, then I don't have to worry that much about the flesh and lack. You know, I noticed the other day, you know, God supplies my needs. He's blessed me. He's blessed me with stuff. I rarely ever even pray about stuff anymore. You know why? I keep seed in the ground. When you got seed in the ground, you're not having to pray about your crops much. When you don't have seed in the ground and you have a lot of lack, then you have to pray about stuff. But the key is to keep seed in the ground. What does that mean? That means I keep things going into my mind that keeps me thinking in the right way. That means that I am a giver. I give finances, and therefore I give, and it's given unto me good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto my bosom. I don't live in a lack mentality anymore. Now, I have in my life. We all have been in a lack mentality where we've had to pray some things. But if you're tired of living in lack, start planting some seeds. Start thinking different. Start giving different. Soak, 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 soak. It comes out of my love relationship with God. I don't give money because I'm required to give money. I give tithes and offerings because I love God. I love to give. And it's the attitude in which you give that determines the harvest that comes back to you. If I give grudgingly, that affects the harvest that comes back to me. If I don't give at all, there's no seed. But I want to keep seed in the ground. Seeds in the ground. Looking for a crop with your seeds in the ground. Yeah. Every area of my life, I want seed in the ground. Mentally, emotionally, relationally, financially, spiritually. I want my life to be a seed. I want God to be able to do something with my life that's a good seed. Philippians 4, 8. Paul says this. And I love this because this is positive. This is not about avoiding sin, although this will cause you to avoid sin. This is about pursuing God. He says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. Is the word true? Things of God true? Whatsoever things are honest. Is God honest? You betcha. Whatsoever things are just. Is God just? Whatsoever things are pure. The words of the Lord are pure words. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are of a good report. If there be any virtue. If there be any praise. Think on these things. Why? Why should I think on these things? Because what you think is what you say. What you say is what you do. What you do becomes your habit. What your habits become your character, and your character becomes your destiny. It describes the scope of your faith. See, your faith is not what you say. I know a lot of people say that they believe something, but they don't do it. That has nothing to do with their faith. You can say something till the cows come home. And I believe that part of faith is saying. But I know people who say stuff that they don't really believe because they don't do it. Just because you think it and say it, if it never comes to action in your life, what does James say? He says, show me your faith by your works, or show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. In other words, he's saying, show me your faith without your action. I'll show you my faith by my action. Because action is part of the process of change. It's not just talking a good talk, folks. It's not just having a good testimony. It's about the whole thing. Thinking, saying, doing, habit, good habit, good habit. Not bad habit, good habit. You got a bad habit, you know how to change it? Change the way you think about it. Change the way you talk about it. Change what you're doing. It'll create a new habit. A new habit will get into your character. Your character will become your destiny. When you line it up with God, guess what? Steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. So think on these things. Think on these things. Let me give you a challenge for this next week. Let me give you this challenge. When you lie in your bed, when you wake up in the morning and you go to sleep at night, become conscious of what comes out of your subconscious, about what you think about. That'll give you some indication of what's going on in your life. See, there are times that I have laid in my bed and thought about lack. And I'm not talking about lack in stuff. I'm talking about lack in me. Well, I can't do this. I'm not smart enough to do that. I'm not good enough to be that. That's not what God said about me. God designed me to be successful in the thing that He called me to do. He called me to be able to speak. He called me to be able to communicate and to communicate effectively. So when I lay there and I think, I can't speak to those ministers, I can't get up and say that in front of these, why can't I? That's what my gifting is. That's what my design is. That's what my training is. Guess what? I can speak. I can communicate. So I had to change the way that I thought about certain things. I have to change that subconscious thing in my mind that places the limits on my destiny. That places the limits on what God designed me to be. Because I can live short of my design. I can short circuit my design by the way I think about myself. If I learn to think the way God thinks about me, guess what? I can reach my potential. I haven't reached my potential yet. I'm telling you, I have not reached my potential yet. God is going to use me on a higher level than He's ever used me before. And I'm able to stand in it because that's my design. And I'm changing my mind to think that way. And I'll walk in it and live in it in Jesus' name. You know what? You got a design too. You got to start talking to yourself. Quit thinking about your past and your failures and your shortcomings. You're not limited by your sin unless you allow your sin to stay in your life. We got redemption. We have forgiveness. The blood of Jesus just doesn't cover our sins. It takes away our sins. Somebody needed to hear that. It takes it away. You don't live in the shadow of your sin. You need to live in the shadow of your relationship with God. You're designed to be somebody. You're the best God's got. Did you know that? You're the best God's got. Somebody just thought, whoo, He's in trouble. No, He's not. He designed you. Joe, come. We're gonna have prayer time. I want to pray a quick prayer. Prayer team, would you come? You know, you may be here today and two or three things needs to happen. Number one, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you need to connect with Him today because you will never produce your potential outside of Him. You cannot connect with God outside of Christ. You cannot be cleansed from your sin apart from His work, His blood. You can't be good and get where I'm talking about. You have to be redeemed to get there. And if you're here today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you need to do that today. I don't care if you've been a member of this church for years. If that's never happened, you need to connect today. You can come and do that. They'll pray with you. Maybe you know Christ and you've messed up and got away. You need to come home today. We call it reconnect. Reconnect. Because He's here with open arms to cleanse you and restore you to the relationship and the fellowship that He's desired to have with you. You don't deserve it and you can't earn it. And that's not what He's about. He's about giving it to you. You got to be about receiving it. If you got any other kind of need in your life, maybe you have physical ailments in your body, we believe in the power of God to heal. We believe in the power of God to set people free from their burdens. Maybe you're hurting today and you just need somebody to pray with you. I want to pray real quick and then you come. Father God, thank you so much. Your wonderful word shows us so many wonderful things about how we are made and how that we can relate to you through those things. Lord God, thank you for opening our eyes that we can see these things. And thank you for your Holy Spirit that's been alive and working in this service today to draw us to the reality of what you have in our lives. We thank you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?